Open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 20. And we want to listen in this morning to a conversation between the Apostle Paul and church leaders from Ephesus. Acts chapter 20, and I've entitled our thoughts today, Faithful Ministry. On Paul's third missionary journey, he meets with the elders, the pastors of the church at Ephesus. He speaks to them and lays out the ingredients of faithful ministry. By example, he shows them a faithful life of service. So let's listen in and learn from the conversation. Let's ask ourselves as a church this question: how can we have a faithful ministry? How can we have a faithful ministry? We will have shortly an annual business meeting. That is not a separate part of worship as if this is holy now and that's unholy. No. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we want our worship in singing, our worship in the Word, to prepare our hearts so that we can come together to worship the Lord and do all things decently and in order so that the ministry can go forward. Ask yourself personally, how can I have a faithful ministry? And ask ourselves collectively, how can we have a faithful ministry? Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word, for this amazing passage of scripture. And I pray, Lord, that you will teach us individually and as a church, as we look forward to Vision 2024 and ministry teams, we pray that we individually will serve on one or more teams and we'll ask ourselves, how can I have a faithful ministry? How can I be faithful to your purposes for me? And Lord, as we think about ministry as a church, may we all come together and seek to be faithful to you until Jesus comes back. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 20, and let's look starting with verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, this would be Asia Minor, modern day Turkey, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. I'd like to suggest, first of all, that here's how we can have a faithful ministry: by serving with right attitudes. And notice what Paul commends to us here. He says in verse 18, from the first day that I came among you, this is how I've lived. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility. What a wonderful attitude for faithful ministry. Humility, lowliness of mind. Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This mind. A lowly mind, not a haughty mind. Not, I'm above and better than everyone else. No, I am standing in the shadows of the cross. And in the cross, I stand forgiven along with brothers and sisters in Christ. We stand forgiven at the cross. We have the boast of Galatians chapter 6. But God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our boast is in the cross. It's not in ourselves. And that is a humility attitude, an attitude of humbleness before the Lord. And notice not only the humility, but Paul says, with many tears and trials. I see the attitude there is tenderness. I have a friend who came to know Christ. He was an army officer, and he grew up in the home of a Marine Corps drill sergeant. And as he grew up, big boys didn't cry, not according to his father. He was so convicted of his sin, he went into his study and wept like a baby and trusted in Christ as his Savior. Big boys do cry. In fact, the best men who ever lived cried. The Lord Jesus cried. And Paul here cried. I served you with many tears. That's tenderness. There's a danger in life for all of us. I think there's a special danger right here in the city. And it's this, that we get a hard heart, a hardened heart, an indifferent heart, a heart of disgust at things that we see around us. May God spare us from that and instead give us a tender heart, a tender heart for people in their needs, to have the heart of Jesus who looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. And then not only tenderness, but endurance. He says in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. There needed to be endurance through these trials, through plots and intrigues and opposition against him. And Paul said, that's my track record. I kept at it. Endurance. I remained under when the trials happened, when the opposition came. I just kept taking the next step in the Lord and serving the Lord. I kept going forward for him. Endurance. And then verse 20 shows selflessness. I kept back nothing that was helpful. I proclaimed to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. I didn't hold back what was needful for you. There was selflessness. I gave and gave and gave. And here it's in proclaiming and teaching. He said, I taught you publicly. I taught you privately, house to house, but I kept giving to you. What a blessing it is to give to people in their need the truth of the Word of God and to keep doing it selflessly. And all of us have that opportunity. It might be in a Bible club. It might be in one-on-one counseling with someone, but availability, a willingness to put aside self and to give to someone in their spiritual need. That's a tremendous blessing. Selflessness. So number one, how can we have a faithful ministry? By serving with right attitudes. With right attitudes. We come to the assembly. We come to the church service. And our attitude is not just one of receiving, but we come with an attitude of giving. We come with an attitude of humility, of welcoming others and showing tenderness. And we keep at it, endurance, and we selflessly serve the Lord. Well, then verse 21 commends something else to us. I love this. Verse 21, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we have a faithful ministry? By maintaining a gospel focus. A gospel focus. If a church loses gospel focus, it might as well lock the doors and go home. We are here to announce the good news of the gospel. That Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again, that he can forgive sinners and give eternal life. And Paul says, I'm testifying to all people, to the Jews, to the non-Jews, the Gentiles, the Greeks, a change of mind, repentance toward God, universal declaration to the Jews, to the Gentiles. Paul said, Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel, a gospel focus. As individual believers in Christ, we need to maintain a gospel focus. The question to ask when you see someone, do they know Jesus? Have they believed the gospel? That's what's really important. It's not the color of their skin. It's not even their language. It's certainly not their economics. It's not their clothes. It's the gospel. Do they know Jesus? That's what's the main thing. So universal declaration to all kinds of people, and it's through a God-centered message. He puts it like this. Repentance, that is a change of mind and direction toward God. You see, when he went to the Gentiles, they served many gods. There was a multiplicity of gods. Repent from those false ideas about God and turn to the true God, the God of the Bible. When he went to the Jews, they understood that there was one true God, but they were having a problem with his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they rejected him as Messiah. Repent in your view toward God. Understand that there is one true God and he sent his son Jesus as Messiah. Change your mind about all that and your direction and focus on the true God whose son is the Lord Jesus, who is the only way to the Father. So he says, repentance toward God, and then place your faith in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Master, Jesus, Savior, Christ, Messiah, Mashiach, Anointed One. Place your faith in Jesus of Nazareth, who is Savior, who is Master, who is Messiah. And we have that same message today, a Christ-centered message, faith in the finished work of Christ. In Christ alone, you can stand in salvation, only in Christ. So by maintaining a gospel focus, we will be faithful to the ministry of God. You know, when I think about the years, 136 years that God has blessed Easton Baptist Church with, and the same message, 136 years, praise God, praise the Lord. It's a sad thing to drive through a neighborhood and to see it, what used to be a church is closed. It's something else now. We heard those reports of England, churches have become gay bars and other things like that, and closed buildings. How very, very sad. May we be vibrant with the message of the gospel so that the doors continually stay open. Faithful ministry. And we come to verses 22 through 27, and it's this: by setting an example of commitment, we can be in faithful ministry. Notice verse 22. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit. Our Bible editors, in my Bible at least, have Spirit as lowercase. I believe it should be uppercase, meaning it's the Holy Spirit. I go bound in the Spirit. I am compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. This is what God wants for me to do, and so I'm ready to do that. So it's an example of obedience Paul is giving to us. An example of obedience in verse 22. And notice what he says, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. If you wait, if I wait to have it all figured out to do the will of God, probably never do it. You can't figure out everything. You can't know all the details. We take a step of faith. Yes, there may be dangers along the way, but does God want us to do a certain ministry? Then let's do it. Let's go in obedience, not saying, Lord, I get it all figured out and got all the bottom line worked out, then I'll do it. No, obedience. And Paul says, I'm going bound in the Spirit. I believe this is what the Spirit wants me to do. I don't know the things that will happen to me there. What a blessing that even the Apostle Paul did not know what was going to happen. And you and I do not know what will happen today, let alone tomorrow or next year. So what do? Walk by faith as God reveals His truth to us day by day. We sang it earlier, day by day and with each passing moment. And notice verse 23, courage. What an example of courage. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulations await me. What courage! Well, Paul, wouldn't this be a great time for you to retire and just go chill out on an island somewhere? No. The Holy Spirit knows what's ahead for me. And it may include chains and tribulations, imprisonment, but it's not going to stop me. Courage in spite of threats, in spite of challenges. I remember hearing at a Christian camp years ago, the test of character is what does it take to stop you? We have strong Christian character, then we don't give up. We don't stop. We don't cower under a little criticism or a little persecution. Paul says, I know I'm going to have chains. I know there's going to be imprisonment, but I'm courageous for the Lord. I'm not going to be stopped by these things. Look at the next chapter, chapter 21, verse 13. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. He was not going to be stopped. This is the heart cry of many brothers and sisters in Christ around this world. We're ready to be bound, even to die, for the name of the Lord Jesus. Where it's not convenient to be a Christian. It's not popular. No, you face hardship even. And Paul says, I have, by God's Spirit, this kind of courage. How we need that today. Christians, born again Christians, people are truly saved, who believe the Bible, we need courage. And for Christian men, to be a man. And Christian women, be a woman of God. And be a woman of conviction, a woman of courage. What does it take to stop us? Well, notice what he says in verse 24 and 25. None of these things move me. None of these things move me. I hear about the chains, I hear about the tribulations, but these things don't move me. They don't get me off course. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 about dying daily. We face death to self on a daily basis. I die daily. Here is a very small package. When we get all wrapped up, you ready? In ourselves. A small package. He didn't have that problem. He could say in Philippians, for to me, to live is Christ. You add it all up. What my life is all about is equals Jesus. For to me to live is Christ. I'm abandoned to the will of God. What an example for us. I'm not moved by these trials. I don't count my life dear to myself. Here's what I want to do, so that I may finish my race with joy. Back in the day, at a track meet, at the finish line, there was a string. Now it's a laser beam, I believe. And so you run the race, and you want to feel the string as you cross the finish line. You want to finish. You want to be first. And Paul says, I'm going to finish my race, and I want to finish it with joy. So my focus is on Christ. It's on the will of God. It's on ministry. And I want to finish this race with joy and fulfill all the ministry that the Lord Jesus has given to me. This example here is one of abandonment. Abandonment to the will and purposes of God. The Apostle Paul showed that abandonment. My life is all about Jesus. Jim Elliot and the martyrs of the Aucas had that abandonment. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Abandonment to the will of God. Paul wanted to finish the race and complete the gospel ministry. I can't think of any more awesome moment for any one of us than when we stand one day before the Lord Jesus, not to be judged for our sins, to be evaluated for our service. Can you imagine that moment? And He bestows rewards or not. That's the moment to live for, to stand before the Lord Jesus and say, I was submitted to you by your grace. And to hear Him say, well done. He may have given you a special ministry of intercession. Nobody saw it. He saw it. And you completed that ministry. And He calls you home and He says, well done. Maybe it was evangelism. Maybe it was administration. Whatever it was, I finished what God wanted me to do. That's Paul's heart cry here. I want to finish my race with joy. Instead of having those eyes put on us in shame. I've told this story before, I'm sure, but I distinctly remember my sixth grade teacher. I was thinking about her this week for some reason, how she used to read to us after lunch. Even remember the story, at least one of them. And I remember this particular assignment that I was struggling with. And Miss Gokenauer was her name. She had these big eyes. Well, they weren't that big, but you know what I mean. And so I had this assignment, and I took it up to her desk and put it on her desk. I made the mistake of looking up and making eye contact with her. She had those big eyes on me, and they weren't happy. They were sad eyes, and I knew that I messed up just by her look. Now, I like to think about the Lord Jesus looking at us one day. We don't want that. We don't want to see sad eyes. You didn't finish the race. You sat down on the track. You didn't fulfill it. And you know what, friends? There'll be no excuse that's good enough in that moment. Well, I saw some hypocrites. Well, I saw this. I did that. I was just too tired. I don't think that's going to work. Paul was abandoned to the will of God. I have this passion to finish the race. I have this passion to fulfill the ministry, the work and plan of God. There's a hymn, not in our book, but in another book that is so powerful. It's called Sweet Will of God. My stubborn will at last hath yielded. I would be thine and thine alone. But this the prayer my lips are bringing. Lord, let in me thy will be done. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer, till I am wholly lost in thee. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer, till I am wholly lost in thee. The second verse says, I'm tired of sin, footsore and weary. The darksome path has dreary grown. But now a light has risen to cheer me. I find in thee my star, my sun. Verse 3, thy precious will, O conquering Savior, doth now embrace and compass me. All discords hushed, my peace a river, my soul a prisoned bird set free. Shut in with thee, O Lord, forever, my wayward feet no more to roam. What power from thee my soul can sever, the center of God's will, my home. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer, till I am wholly lost in thee. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer, till I am wholly lost in thee. Paul could sing that song. He could say, I want the sweet will of God. He has another example here, verses 26 and 27. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not sons to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Here is faithfulness. Setting an example of commitment, an example of faithfulness. Those who come behind us, those who watch us, catch on to our values. Too tired to do this, too tired to go to church, too tired to serve the Lord, but all the energy in the world to go have a pleasurable outing. They catch on to that. Faithfulness. He had faithfully given out the gospel. Look at Acts 18 and verse 6. Acts 18, 6. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, said mean, ugly, nasty things about him. He shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. It was a major door, a marker. Now the gospel is fully open to the Gentiles. Paul says, you have rejected this. I'm turning my emphasis to the Gentiles. But here he could say, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. I have spoken faithfully the truth of God, even though some have rejected it. He had thoroughly given the whole truth. Don't you just love this? Verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God takes us to all 66 books of the Bible. It takes us to themes that we love to hear. It takes us to themes that we don't love to hear, but we need to hear. It takes us to all the truth, the whole counsel of God. I just love this. And this is the duty of every Bible-believing pastor, to preach the whole counsel of God. Not just what is comfortable, just what people enjoy, but all the scriptures. Paul said, I've declared all of it to you. I haven't shunned away from it. What a great example. What a tremendous challenge to me personally. Don't shy away from this scripture or that. Speak all the truth of God. There's something wrong, by the way, for a preacher who only wants to be positive. Just want to be positive. Don't want anybody to be offended. And so all I got to do is think about the cross. And that cross tells me that God was highly offended at my sin. And it took Jesus to die on that cross because I'm a sinner and I needed a Savior. And if that offends, it should offend so that it can heal, so that it can bring us to forgiveness, so it can bring us to salvation. And that may offend, but may it so be. It's the cross that's the power of God to salvation. And there are many other truths in Scripture. Well, let's avoid this or avoid that because it kind of goes against our culture. No, teach the Word of God. Teach all of it, the whole counsel of God. He had thoroughly given the whole truth. By setting an example of commitment, we can have faithful ministry. And whatever ministry you're involved in, show commitment. An example of commitment because others see it. It's a blessing to them. Verses 28 through 31, there's another way that we can have faithful ministry. By instructing with warnings. Verse 28, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Therefore be alert, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Therefore watch and remember. Paul reminded them, 3 years I told you, I taught you, I warned you. Teaching with caution, instructing with warnings, instruction based on faithfulness that we saw in verses 26 and 27. I've not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God, so watch out, verse 28. Take heed to yourselves. They're church leaders. He said, watch out for yourselves. Paul told Timothy, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Two things. Great prayer request for any pastor, any missionary, any church leader. Lord, help them to take heed to themselves. Take heed to their doctrine. Or watch out. And so he's telling the leaders this. And notice these details. We worked this out in a little more detail on Zoom one Wednesday night. But let me just summarize. Take heed to yourselves. To whom is he speaking? Well, look at verse 17. He sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Greek word, presbyteros. We get a denominational name from that. Presbyteros, elders. So he's speaking to these elders. Notice very carefully, verse 28, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, sometimes translated bishops, episkopos, another denominational name comes from that. So you elders, the Holy Spirit made you bishops or overseers. Keep going. To shepherd the church of God. Poimen, pastor, shepherd, feed, pastor. So elder, bishop, and pastor, talking about one office. Three different distinctions here. It shows the dignity of the office. Elder shows the duty to oversee and shows the function to shepherd, to feed the flock. And this is what Paul is telling them to do. Shepherd the flock. And notice, isn't this a beautiful picture? The church of God. And he purchased it with his blood. He purchased the church with his blood. Jesus is God. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood. And we can be redeemed and set free. So he's instructing with warnings. He's telling them to watch out over themselves. Over the flock. What a great responsibility. The Holy Spirit is the one who made you overseers. Feed the church. Feed them. Nourish them. Heal them. Settle them. Verse 29, he says, you need to know about this. Savage wolves are going to come in. So how are we to picture that? some ravenous wild dog or wolf is going to come through the front doors of the church, so we need to be there with a net, a dog catcher, we're going to get them? No. They might be extremely slick. Very well dressed, maybe. Savage wolves, it's what people teaching false doctrine will do to the flock. So they're going to come in among you and they're not going to spare the flock. Be on guard. Notice coming from the outside, savage wolves. And he's telling them, be on your guard. Watch out. Beware, because all that is quote unquote Christian is not good. It's not Christian. It's not biblical. We've got to be on guard. And then he says, in verse 30, also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So you're going to have threats from the outside, but you're going to have threats from the inside. Drawing away the disciples after themselves. Years ago, I remember a man who came and told me he had been in ministry, and I tried to involve him and give him opportunities to minister. And one night he was disgruntled and he said, we're leaving. I said, oh, okay. He had told us that we were like the last chance, you know, for a good church. So he's coming to us. Now he tells me he's leaving. A few weeks later, across the river in North Augusta, South Carolina, I get a call from a pastor friend of mine. And he said, do you know a such and such? I said, yeah, I sure do. He said, well, he showed up here Sunday. I really? Yeah, he wanted to know if there was a room that he could have to teach a class. I said, I don't think you want to do that. He said, well, I wasn't planning on it. Drawing away disciples after themselves. But no church really good enough. So there are all these dynamics, and Paul warned about it here. There will be wolves from the outside, but there will be people rising up, speaking perverse things, and what they want is to get a following, to draw away the disciples after themselves. That's a problem. Be on guard, he says. And then look at verse 31. Watch, be alert. Remember, 3 years I did not cease. Watch, be alert. Remember, I warned you faithfully. And I had great passion and great grief with tears. I wanted the flock to be preserved. The Apostle Paul was very concerned about the Corinthians. He said it in a little different way. He said, I've espoused you to the Lord Jesus, and I fear lest somehow Satan deceives you and you be drawn away from your love to Christ. Satan loves to do that. Drawn away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Satan has his playground that way. May we keep our focus on Christ. And may we pray that spiritual leaders and pastors keep their focus on the Scriptures and on Christ, so that there's spiritual health in the flock. Now notice number 5, verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. How can we have faithful ministry? By depending upon God, His word, and His grace. God's grace is His power to carry on His will. And we need continual dependence on God through prayer, through seeking Him to do the work of God. It's not on us. It's on God's person and His work. And isn't this precious? The word of His grace, the word about His grace, the word of God points us to the grace of God and motivates us to be able to do the will of God. There is edification to build you up through the word and through our focus on God. And there's reward. Grants you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Reward from faithful service. Verses 33 through 35. How can we have a faithful ministry? By living a life of giving. Let me ask you something today. Are you a giver or a taker? Are you a giver or a taker? You say, well, I'm both. Well, I understand. As believers, we need to be givers. And I'm not just talking about money. All of our lives, time, talent, treasure, living a life of giving. It's so refreshing to meet a saint who gives their time, who gives through prayer, who gives of their talents to serve the Lord. A life of giving. Look what Paul said. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. By being free from covetousness, I can have a life of giving. By a willingness to work, by being ready to give. Here are words of Jesus that are not recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. They're in the book of Acts. Nowhere do we see these words of Jesus, but they were known, and so Paul repeats them here. More blessed to give than to receive. You hear that a lot of times at Christmas time. People sometimes don't have a clue as to where that came from. It came from Jesus, but it's recorded in the book of Acts. Being ready to give, it's blessed to give. Verse 36, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. So following the life of giving is praying with sincerity. He knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely, fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. There they were on the beach praying, showing emotion. There was humility. There was appreciation. The love was so thick, you could feel it in the air. And there was sorrow because they knew that they would not see Paul again. But what a wonderful memory, praying with sincerity. Here's how to have faithful ministry, praying with sincerity. Here's how to have a life that matters. Serve with right attitudes. Maintain gospel focus. May God help us as a church to do so. By setting an example of commitment, by instructing with warnings, being willing to tell the truth, and by depending upon God, His Word, and His grace, and by living a life of giving and praying sincerely. What a blessing. And we follow this example from the Apostle Paul, the example that he commended to the Ephesian leaders, that we'll be blessed in faithful ministry. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you for faithful men and women of God who have blessed us over the years. We thank you, Lord, that we build on the foundation that they built into us and into our church right here. And, oh God, we pray that we will be faithful as we see here in Acts chapter 20 for those who come behind us. We pray by your Spirit that you will motivate us and strengthen us and bless us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.